Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is John Thomas, and welcome to the International Black Summit Radio Talk Show. Tonight, we're going to have a very interesting show on the distinction trigger. One of the things we say about what it is to be a human being is that we're always getting activated by something. You know, something someone says, something someone does, something that we say, something that we do, you know, who people are being, what we see on the news, what we see just walking down the street, what we're experiencing when we're in a small group. So tonight's show is about the distinction trigger, and I am expecting a number of people to call in tonight. However, we have Catherine Thomas on the line, and I just want to say hi to her, and then I want to say a little bit more about some of the other shows. So hi, Catherine.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm great.
I know. I remember before the show you said you're not in a trigger space.
It is so gorgeous here. It's one of the 10 best days of the year where I am.
Yes. Where are you?
Right outside Kansas City, Missouri.
Right outside of Kansas City, Missouri.
In Lee Summit, Missouri. And it's just
Wow. Beautiful
here. How could I get
triggered?
How could I get triggered?
How can you get triggered? Well, you know, tonight's show is not really about getting triggered. It's moreover about distinguishing what some of your triggers are and some of your triggers have been. And, you know, there's a possibility that throughout this show you might even get an opportunity to experience one in the moment. It's not like I'm asking for that to happen, but it could happen.
Got it.
So I'm glad you're not in a trigger space. As a matter of fact, I want you to say a little more about, well, what do you mean I'm not in a trigger space?
Right now, the calm peace of my soul doesn't feel like it could be triggered by anything. Just chilling.
Just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I wanted to... So welcome, Catherine, and I want to mention some of the other shows that happen on the International Black Summit radio show. Next week, we're going to have Lenar interviewing women, actually interviewing mothers. It's going to be Mother's Day, and she's going to be interviewing mothers in the summit, and that's going to be a great show. And then... the week after that, Clara, on her Your Invited show, will be interviewing, people around the annual summit event that's coming up in August in Anguilla. So stay tuned for those shows. I invite you to come back next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and tune in to those shows. All right, so back to Miss Everything is Just Lovely, Life is Good, I'm Just Chilling. So even though you're not, Catherine, you're not in a trigger space, do you remember some of the triggers in your life?
I can remember one recently.
One recently?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I enjoy cooking. I enjoy having my friends over. And I do that. But I invited them for Easter, and I thought, these people always come to my house. They always eat. We always have a good time. I don't ever, no nobody ever gets invited to their house. And after I invited them, I was triggered. After I invited them, I was triggered by my thing.
After you invited them, you was triggered?
Yeah.
Now, why were you triggered?
Because I began to think that they don't ever have people over. They don't ever reciprocate. They just come to my house, eat, have a good time, and, you know, hang. And we never get invited there. Mm-hmm.
And so say more about why you was triggered, though.
Because the people that I invite, who are my friends, like to go out, you know, to eat, but they don't like to cook. They don't like to invite people over. They don't invite me over. And so when after I had invited them, then I started to get triggered. Started here. This was
wow. So you invited them.
Mm-hmm.
Did they come?
No, afterwards, I got really triggered. I got sick, and I called the whole thing off. One of my other friends, not these people, called me up. I said I was sick. She said, well, come on over for Easter and bring your friend, too.
Wow. So somebody invited you.
Somebody invited me.
Okay.
I was too sick to go to church, but I got my clothes on, went over there. They had put a new theater room in the basement and showed a movie, and the food was fabulous, and she had her relatives there, and we had a great time.
Wow, wonderful. So now, just let's just go back for a moment. You said you invited them, and like in the process of the invitation, you got triggered, or after you invited them?
After I had invited them, like I always do for every holiday, I talked about the fact that this is what we always do. I invite them, I cook, and that's okay, but they never have people to their house for holidays or any time.
Well, it really is so great what you're saying is because it sounds like the trigger, if you will, was already there.
Mm-hmm.
It was already there just waiting.
Waiting for
just,
Easter.
Say what?
Waiting for Easter.
Waiting for Easter. It was already there, just cooling out, just kind of like hanging out, because you had, from what I hear, is you had already had the thought that you've been inviting them and inviting them and inviting them over to your house for the holidays, but they hadn't invited you, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll go out to dinner with me and all that kind of stuff, take me out sometimes, but never when the holiday comes, they expect I'm going to invite them to my house.
Wow. So from what I understand about the distinction trigger, it is something that you cannot or not willing to be with about yourself.
That's right.
So what did you see about yourself that you could not or wasn't willing to be with?
I wasn't willing to be with one more time of having them to my house and not getting invited back.
Okay. But now, okay, good. I got that part, because that's what you wasn't willing to be with about them.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it that you wasn't willing to be with about you?
I was thinking that I do all the giving, and the people that I usually invite don't give back to me. No. That's still not about me.
No, it's not. Good. I'm glad you noticed that.
I noticed that. what was it I wasn't willing to be with about me? Okay, I don't see it.
John. You don't see it?
Mm-mm.
All right. So, you know, the opportunity of distinguishing your triggers is to, you know, at least one way to look at it is to begin to give you access about something about yourself that you can shift, change, or transform. You know, and as other people call in, I'm going to invite them to share more about how they look at it, because there's no real one way to look at triggers. However, it's very powerful when you can begin to get what's going on over here with you about the situation to give you more access and power around it. So it's great that you don't see it, and it's not so great that you don't see it.
I guess what I'm seeing, the more I think about it, is that I'm not speaking up and saying, oh, look, it's time for you to invite me for Easter, instead of saying, come to my house for Easter. Mm-hmm. It's me not speaking up and saying what I'm feeling.
Okay. So that's the part about you that you're not willing to be with, or, you know, having a hard time being with, standing up.
I haven't even thought about it.
And standing up and making your request,
mm-hmm.
that they invite you over for
mm-hmm.
dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Not take you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not come over to your house.
Mm-hmm.
But actually invite you over to Easter dinner or Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner that they prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is you don't say anything, and then the next year you invite them again, if I'm understanding this correctly, and then you get triggered because you invited them again.
Yeah, that's the way it would have worked if I hadn't had this conversation with you.
So for all of those of you out there listening, listening to the talk show that hadn't invited Catherine over to your house.
Let's see. We're having Mother's Day now, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Father's Day. It's awesome.
She's already put you on notice that she's going to say, no, you can't come to my house. I request to come to your house. Wow. It's actually a pretty fascinating, I would say a pretty fascinating distinction. You know, I also say it takes a particular level of maturity to kind of hang out in this distinction, because there's some aspects of yourself you got to own.
Mm. Like speaking up for yourself.
Like speaking up for yourself. You know, in your case, acknowledging that, wait a minute, I hadn't been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm upset. I'm triggered mm-hmm. with them because they didn't invite me, but I didn't say anything about it. I remember back in 1993, when I did the Landmark Forum. And my forum leader was this Italian woman from New York, little fireball, short. Her name was Nancy Sapolsky. And, man, she was something to behold. And she was a very powerful young lady at the time. And one of the things that she said that kind of stuck with me was she noticed that she was doing things around the house, and her husband didn't say anything about it. And she, you know, she thought she was doing like a really, really good job of keeping the house up, you know, working with the children and just maintaining. And, you know, my hat just goes off for women in general because, you know, how you all do what you do, I don't know. I ain't figured that one out yet. But she was noticing that she was starting to get upset that he didn't say anything about it. And, you know, through her training and transformation and her training with being with people and working with people, she noticed that it was all over there with her. So she actually requested that he acknowledge her. You know, even though he hadn't already done it, you know how we do, we get upset because they hadn't done it, but she actually saw for herself that I just requested that he acknowledge me. And so she did. And he did acknowledge her. And in some cases, she just acknowledged herself, you know, which is, you know, kind of like what you're talking about. She began to get access to what she was triggered by, even though she may not use that term, triggered. And she saw what she needed, you know, took responsibility for what she needed and then caused that to happen. I see we have another caller online. I believe it's Lenar from Chicago. Is that you?
Yes, it's me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, great.
Wonderful. How are you doing?
Well, I'm kind of triggered. Because, you know, Catherine and I have been spending time a bit earlier for like the 30 minutes ago so that she could get into the chat room. So then I hear her on the phone, on the caller, and I'm like, wait a minute, who's monitoring the chat room? Because I've been in there busily typing things like, you know, what is it that you didn't say that you think you should have said, you know, to her, what she was looking at, and what is it that you didn't do that you think you should have done, and what is it that you didn't get that you thought you should have gotten. And, of course, she got to, you know, what it was, although for me it's still kind of like an out there thing, like she's triggered because they didn't ask her, and, you know, it's like, that's a way to look at it. Anyway, I was just triggered about the chat room.
Okay, I got you. Triggered about the chat room. Now, did you hear what else she said about herself?
That she noticed that she hadn't asked her.
She didn't stand up.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't stand up for what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the chat room?
I was typing a few things there, but I didn't sign in as Summit. I signed in as myself.
Okay. I can't get in there.
How interesting.
Yeah, it's telling me that I need to upgrade my Flash player. So as we're having this call and I already upgraded my Flash player, I'm noticing now I'm starting to get a little triggered about seeing what's happening in the chat.
Oh, wow. Now, and you have been able to get in there, correct, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it says, if
now.
You see this and you have already upgraded, we suggest you follow this link to uninstall Flash and reinstall it again.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, what the? So I noticed that's what's there for me, and I'm just going to be with it for right now. So let me just check back in with Catherine. So, Catherine.
Yes, John?
Seeing what you're seeing about that you hadn't been standing for yourself, you hadn't been making the request of people, like you, hadn't been standing for yourself, what are you beginning to see?
I'm beginning to see that I need to speak to these people and encourage them to invite me over for whatever holiday or kind they choose.
Okay, and what if they don't? What if after encouraging them, they don't invite you, then what?
If they don't, they don't. If they don't, they don't. That's not going to stop me from inviting them. I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. But I needed to mention it for me.
Okay, good.
Just keeping
now,
it. Instead of just keeping it in here.
Instead of just keeping it over there with you.
I caught the flu over thinking about that. That's what happens.
Wow. So now, what do you say to what Lenar's saying about the chat room and all the work that you guys did prior to the call for you to manage the chat?
What do I say about it? I say thank you to Lenar. I appreciate everything that she did. I got it.
Here's the thing for me. There really isn't anything for Catherine to say about it. That's my trigger.
Right.
If she's got something to say about it, that's nice. But what there was for me to do was to do what I did. Because you notice I've been silent since I said that, until you asked that question.
Right.
I needed to say, hey, you know, like a should. You know, I have that thing about shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe I was supposed to. Like, you should be in a chat room. And, you know, that's my shoe, and it's not hers. She did what there was for her to do for her. And that's all a being can do, you know, is to do what there is to do for himself. So what it was for me was to say, hey, chat room, and she'll do what she does.
Right. You know, and I know, Lenar, you've been around this conversation, this distinction for a long time, and you know, it sounds to me you were able to move, you know, notice that you was triggered, move through the trigger and take the action there was for you to take to empower yourself. But if we could just slow it down a little bit. You remember how they used to do it, the Harlem Globetrotters?
Yeah.
On TV they would slow it down so you can see what they were doing?
Yeah.
If you would just slow it down and just like walk us through the process. How'd you get to where you got to?
excuse me for coughing in your ear. Hey, there's BTR Jason in the chat room. I just want to say hi to him. He's I really like when he shows up. And then he popped out. But so what I want to say is the first thing is that I noticed that I was triggered. But I had an upset, that little feeling was coming over me. And just say, okay, well, what is it about? And it's about, you know, the chat room was empty. Well, not empty, but in my world, what was supposed to be occurring wasn't occurring. And so then I opened up my mouth and, let me back up. What was supposed to be occurring wasn't. And, you know, it's like, well, that's Catherine's job. I went there, and then I said, okay, this isn't about Catherine. And, you know, it's really looking at those questions that I typed in the chat room. So what is it that I get that I am not saying that there is for me to say? Or what is it that I'm not doing that there is for me to do? Or what is it that I feel that I should have gotten that I didn't get? So, you know, once I played around with those, and that kind of goes very quickly because you're correct. I have been doing it for a while. It's like, oh, let me just say something. You know, because I had a couple of options. I could have just clicked off, you know, and walked around and been pissed off that we spent, you know, 30 minutes ahead of time getting ready so that, you know, she could do this. This could be covered. And, you know, I could have gone into a whole tirade about how ungrateful and spending my time doing that when I could have been doing something else. You know, I could have gone that route. But that's putting it out there. You know, and I don't have any control over shifting out there. What I do have some control over is shifting in here. So once I, it's like, okay, that's me. That's about me. And do I want to be right or do I want to be effective, sort of? And so I, you know, so then I just dialed up on the phone and I waited. Of course, wait a minute, let me just back this up. Tell the truth now. And then I was triggered because you kept me on hold. Notice that you did it. So I was kept on hold for a while. So I did that. I went through that and said, you know, he may not, and I did say, I said, he may not be looking at the chat. And which is really interesting because then you told your story of, you know, not your story, but you explained what was going on technically, that you can't even see the chat. But see, my not knowing that, I could have had a rampage about, well, you know, why isn't he putting me, you know, on there? Blah, blah, blah. Can he see that? You know, I could have done all of that. Didn't do that. Said, okay, he may not be looking at it because I know how it is hosting. Sometimes not able to do that, not able to manage the chat and, you know, be on the line at the same time. So then I just said, okay, let me just sit here and be with it because he'll get to me when he sees me there. You know, it'll be the right time, the perfect time for me to be on the line. And then, you know, I can say what there is for me to say. And in the saying of it, not make Catherine wrong. You know, and I say, well, you know, why isn't Catherine, why aren't you in the chat room? You know, that, no, because it's about me. You know, hey, the chat, who's managing the chat, or let's get the chat managed, something like that. So did that help any? Did that explain?
Oh, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for, you know, slowing it down and sharing, you know, the process that you went through, even though you may have not had all those conversations as you was going through the process because you've been, you know, involved in this distinction trigger and know out there and a lot of the other distinctions around empowering yourself and owning and being responsible for who you are, that you don't have to spend a lot of time doing it. You know, but thank you for slowing it down and sharing it so that, you know, as people listen to it, it's like, oh, okay, now I see. Oh, that's what happened. You know, because I was talking with Nancy Simmons, one of the summit leaders, and I probably had this same conversation with you sometime in the past that we have conversations at a particular level, and there's always something juicy in them, and there's always something to uncover, something to distinguish, something to give you access to a new way or a different way of looking at life. And for me, it seems kind of ordinary. You know, it's like what we do. Of course that's what we would talk about. Of course that's what we would do. It's like ordinary. It's what we do, ordinary. And sometimes I forget how extraordinary these conversations are. And when I'm reminded, you know, when I go out to other meetings, I really get to see how extraordinary the conversations we have are in contrast to what might be happening at that meeting.
John.
And then I might share something, and they think it's just wonderful, like this new great thing, you know, almost like the next thing, you know, to slice bread. And I'm thinking, I'm just being who I am.
John, you want to see if any of the listeners have any comments?
What listeners?
There's several listeners.
Catherine's new to the, you know, to the mechanics.
Since you can't see this. Anybody else wanted to make any comment?
So, Catherine,
mm-hmm.
Here's what there is for you to know. John sees who's on the telephone line.
Oh, okay, he can see that.
All right, he can see that. What he can't see is what we're typing in the chat room and there is a listener there. It's Mark G. It's his tagline, the candle label. And he doesn't know anything about the International Black Summit. And I don't know if you gave that nice introduction that Clara created for us or no. So
no, we did not give that introduction. Maybe we could pause and do that now for Mark.
And that's, I think it's great because that's kind of what Don was speaking to, at least that's what I heard, when you were saying, you know, how what we do in the summit. John?
Yes.
Okay. You know how you were saying, you know, like for you, you were just being you, and yet you is comprised of all the training that you had with Landmark and in the International Black Summit as a facilitator of the summit. And so this may be a good time to say, oh, and in the meantime, Mark has gone over to the summit website. This may be a good time to, you know, give that brief intro about what the summit is.
All right, well, why don't we just do that?
Okay.
I'm going to invite Catherine to do it since she was the one to suggest that we check in with the listeners.
Mm-hmm. I think Mark just went over to the International Black Summit website.
He says he's still here. I'm looking in the chat. He says, I'm still here.
Well, Mark, I've been involved with the International Black Summit since 1995 when they had a meeting here in Kansas City. And I just went down to help. No interest really in getting involved. They passed around some information about the summit being held in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I thought, well, I could put down my $50. It'll turn out to be a contribution. So I filled out the forms and I mentioned it to my sister, and she said, oh, can I go? And I thought, when you get your ticket, would you get mine? And I'll pay for my hotel. My sister said, I would love to go to Africa. I just needed somebody to go with. And so there I was at the International Black Summit. We usually start off with the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating ourselves as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for ourselves is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding ourselves, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing ourselves with human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that we manifest ourselves in a world as a contribution in the transformation of ourselves and the universe. Well, when I heard that part about transformation of the universe, I was hooked. I've been with the summit ever since.
So thank you for that, Clara. And, you know, a little bit more about the International Black Summit. As Catherine mentioned, she's from Kansas. And I am in Chicago. This is Lenora. John, who is our host this evening, he's in North Carolina. So the International Black Summit is a gathering of people of Black African descent from all over the world, from diverse backgrounds, countries, lifestyles, opinions, and views, to come together and celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration that Catherine just gave us. We explore questions and issues which empower those who attend to realize their vision for the Black community and the world. This summit is also a place to clear yourself so you're able to hear what life is telling you. It's also a conversation of acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who we are as a people and the contribution we are to the world. And as Mark has already done, for more information about the summit, you're welcome to visit our website at www.blacksummit.org. Thank you, Mark. Mark G is in the chat room saying more people need to know about this show. Well, Mark, thank you. So do what you can to spread the word, my brother. No, we don't have a MySpace page, and I've been thinking about doing that. Great. That would be great to help us promote. We need to chat. We need to get together on that. Fabulous, fabulous. So, Mark is suggesting a MySpace page. You know I'm down with that, John, you know, because I want us to have some video to put on there and want to put the youth doing the Declaration rap on there. So thank you, Mark. We have to I'll send you a message through Blog Talk, okay? Send you my email address.
All right, good. Two things. One is... I don't know if it's two things or not. Thank you, Catherine, for sharing, and Lenar and Mark for, engaging in that conversation. And, Lenar, I just also wanted you to know that when you came on the line, you were right. I put you on the line. You just didn't know you were live yet.
Okay. Because I didn't look. You know,
right.
Cool. I'm practicing. Okay, I'm practicing being in the back room, you know, just being here without flipping on the, without messing with the, you know, the participants. You know,
exactly.
I've been in the background and I've clicked on, you know, I've opened up the mic and then you went back and I was like, you know, let me just keep my hands off.
I got you.
Yeah, support in the chat room.
I got you. You know, and so I just love this technology, you know, and the way we're able to expand this conversation out in the world, and thank you, Mark, and, you know, we will take under advisement the consideration of a MySpace page, you know, to complement our blacksummit.org website. There's also another caller on the line. As a matter of fact, there's two. One calling from 215-431 and one calling from 856-685.
That's
you're on the air.
Hi, it's Clara.
Hi, Clara.
How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm fabulous.
Okay, good. Now, which one are you, 856?
Yes.
All right, who's on at 215-431?
This is Joyce. Hi, everyone.
Hey, Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Just a little triggered that I couldn't get on earlier, but couldn't resist that. So I'm in the car, and I just wanted to check in since I can't get to the computer or be home in time. Well, I'm just glad to be on the call and listening to the conversation.
Welcome. Welcome. And you're calling from New Jersey, right?
Actually, Pennsylvania.
You're calling from Pennsylvania, and Clara, you're calling from?
New Jersey.
All right, great. So, you know, this call is about distinguishing trigger, and the question that kind of opened it all up was I asked Catherine, she was the first one on the call, I asked Catherine what was one of her triggers. And she shared about that, so I'm going to ask you two the same thing. And Lenar, you're always welcome. I know you came in with one, but you're always welcome to go back to one of your favorite triggers and share about that. So Joyce, Clara, what do you want to share about this distinction? Triggered, being triggered. Don't go all at once.
Oh, well, I guess I'm in probably the same trigger as let me speak from my own self. I have a technology trigger, so I'm really triggered by technology. So I was successful of getting into the chat room. So I'm there. But then when I got into the chat room, then I couldn't hear on the computer anymore. So it's like I'm challenged. I'm learning and challenged.
You're learning and challenged.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What are you challenged by?
Oh, I'm challenged by technology. Like, it's really fascinating, all the things that one can do. But I guess I'm feeling old because my startup speed is not what it used to be. You know, it's not as intuitive for me to, like, figure this all out.
Okay. And what is it about that that's triggering you?
Well, I think that I should be able to, like, get it. Like, I should be able to figure it out.
You should.
Right. Right. So there's.
Lenar, what was that? Hold on a second, Sarah. Lenar, what was that phrase you said?
No, that's my favorite. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe, oughta, supposed to be. You know, that's the fairy tale world.
Yep. Okay, I'm with you. So, Claire, you should.
That's a signal.
Right.
That's a signal when you're in la la land.
I don't get it. I guess I'm la la-ing.
Because it's not what's going on. Shoulda, you know, can't do anything with the shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe, oughta, supposed to be. Because that's not what's present in the moment. So
what's
that's why I say it's in the la la land.
Oh, gotcha. Well, what's
that might even.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that might even add to your trigger, huh? Okay, go ahead.
I'm just noticing it all and really just being present to, you know, I don't have to figure it all out and it's okay. So, you know, I'm here with you live, which is really a pleasure. And I'm also chatting, which is also a pleasure. So, you know, you do it whatever way you can do it in the moment.
All right, wonderful. Well, you know, kind of like how we distinguish it in the summit, and this is not like the hard, fast rule, but maybe one cut at it, is that a trigger is something about you, something about yourself that you're not willing or unwilling to be with. And I had asked Lenar the same thing. You know, we've been in this conversation for quite some time, so we kind of move through these spaces pretty quickly. So if you could slow it down, how you move from being triggered and then getting into action and causing what you want, what would you say?
Well, first I had to just, like, accept what was going on. So I had to just accept, okay, a minute ago I could hear it and now I can't. First I could hear it and then I couldn't chat, so I had to go. I just registered, so I had to open the email, and I thought, oh, with the email open, it's opening a new window. I need to close out the window that's talking because I don't want two screens talking at me. So I shut it down, and it's like then there was nothing. So I said, okay, I just have to accept in the moment there's nothing. What are my options at this point? And it's that part of myself that I guess I could just figure it all out. Like, I know the answer, you know, or I want to know the answer, or I want to know how to do it. And just accepting sometimes I don't, and it's okay. You know, like, it's okay not to know the answer. It's okay not to know how to figure it out. It's okay. Life goes on, and there's other ways to skin a cat. You do it the way you can, and then you go back and figure it out, you know, figure out the other way later. Or not.
Okay, good. Okay, wonderful. Thank you for slowing it down. Joyce, you still on? I know
yep.
She was riding in her car. Yeah.
Hello.
Would you like to share one of your triggers? And let's just kind of up the ante a little bit. You know, one of the ones that may have been really juicy for you, you know, really impactful for you, and it gripped you. You didn't move through it like in 30 seconds. It might have taken you a little while. Do you have one of those in your life?
I got a lot of those. Too many. So, to me, when you're in a trigger and you know it and you still can't get out of it, like wrapped around you, I had, I'm driving on my way to a game. I usually take the bus. This just happened last week. I'm in my car. I'm stopped at a red light. All of a sudden, I hear these brakes. Boom. Somebody hit me in the rear. I was so triggered. Why the hell did he not stop? I'm at a red light. And I knew that, you know, that, well, there were a couple of things. First of all, I was stopped. He hit me, but I was just angry. Angry with myself, angry with him, angry with the world. And I just couldn't get out of it. I couldn't say in a moment, you know, using the technology, Joyce, you're triggered, come on. You know, and that 30-second transformation you make, I never reached that point. I was triggered for the rest of the day. I want to say 3 days later. I am still triggered now. I can feel the stuff coming up with me. And I'm not sure. It's almost like I don't even want to be with the technology. I just want to be triggered and deal with my upset and anger and, you know, immerse myself in it. One of those kind of things.
Wow.
So,
yeah. That's actually great. Thank you for sharing that. You know, we're gonna work through this one. If you're up for it, we'll work through it tonight. You interested?
I don't know.
She told
you
she wanted to
level
in school.
Well, she didn't say how long.
No, that's true. She didn't.
She didn't say how long.
Dude, I know, because sometimes that stuff feels good. You know, gets my blood running, gets my heart pumping.
Yep.
Break out of a little sweat.
Shoot. Yeah, you know, when you're in a trigger, you know, you clear, you're alive.
Yes.
You are clear, you are alive. Well, I want to expand on it just a little bit more. We got another call on the line. I want to acknowledge them at 803-353. And, Lenar, can you add just a little more time, extend it to 90 minutes?
Sure, hold on. Yeah, go ahead. I got you covered, my brother.
Okay, thank you. Caller at 803-353, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, brother? It's Mark G calling in. How y'all doing?
Oh,
Mark G!
Hey!
What's going on, y'all?
Welcome.
Man, found the show by accident, man. Just kind of clicking through, seeing what's on Blog Talk tonight, and I saw the International Black Summer. I said, well, this sounds interesting, so thought I'd tune in.
All right, good. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yes, indeed.
And just hang on and, you know, kind of ride along with us.
Yeah, I'm riding with you, brother.
All right, Joyce, back to you.
Yeah.
So you got rear-ended, huh?
Yep.
Sitting at a light.
Sitting at a light.
And
minding my own business.
Minding your own business.
So yeah. You were in the right, Joyce?
I was in the right lane, too.
No, yeah. Maybe I was in the wrong lane. I don't know. I was in the right, that man, and I, you know, part of it was this man was in such a hurry. He pulled out everything I needed, the license, his ID card. He says, you want this information? He had it all in front of me. I didn't even want to look at it. I said, no, I'm calling the police. He said, why are you doing that? I said, because I want to record it.
Wow.
And well, there were a couple of things. I had one time before I had been in an accident, and I did not call the police. And when I got the report, even though they said at the scene that they were at fault, when I got the final report, I was at fault. So the lesson I learned in that was to always call the police to get a written statement, you know, on what happened. So there was a point where I had to actually let go of getting to my game because I was on my way to a game that I was supposed to be coaching at. I had to let go that I was going to get there on time. And what I noticed is that when I was in the trigger, it was like I wasn't thinking clearly. Like all I wanted to do was get my car and leave and get to my game. But, you know, there is no... When I looked and trying to get through everything, I had to do what was important to, you know, resolve what had just happened. And
wow.
I had, you know, I let go of being attached to whatever you would like to look at, getting to the game on time. Like, it was, oh, okay. So that was one decision. And then secondly, I really got, and this is only after looking back with you, that man was in such a hurry, and it, what it triggered in me is all the, you know, all the times I'm in a hurry, you know, like rushing to do something, you know, because he was only doing what he was doing. And I kept noticing, the question I kept asking myself is, why is he such in a hurry? Where is he going? That he had to run into me. But it wasn't all about him. He just happened to be the one that hit me. And when I got to really look, it's, you know, it's the times when I find myself overwhelmed and in a rush to do a whole lot of stuff. And breakdowns happen, you know. But that's what I saw in myself out of what happened, like, and what, you know, that actually stops me from a lot of times making, you know, good decisions. Handling one breakdown leads to more breakdowns, you know, so you get a feeling of overwhelmness. Sometimes a sense of helplessness.
Wow.
You know, all that was there, and I just I'm just beginning to see that now. That's great.
All right, great.
That's great.
Go ahead, Lenore.
Well, that she's seeing that now, you know, because I can hear, like, the whole difference in, you know, I feel a shift in the whole situation, the whole attitude around the situation.
Did you hear that? Did you hear, like, this calmness?
Yes. You know, different from when she was first describing it. So she's beginning to notice, to see some things about the situation. And that's one of the great things about, you know, owning that. That's one of the great things about knowing that it really isn't about that person. It's about, you know, my reaction to it or what's going on with me and, you know, staying in that space about it. And so that's what I'm hearing. Because there were a lot of places, a lot of which ways Joyce could have taken that. Like, what I noticed, you know, even though I was, like, making fun of it, like, she was in the right. Like, she was in the right. She was doing the right thing. She was stopped at a red light. She was in the lane. You know, and she got hit from behind. And, you know, it's like, how many times have I been, quote, what I consider in the right lane, doing the right thing, doing what I was supposed to be doing, and something happened. And I have a choice, like George is saying. I can either choose to be at the effect of that, or I can choose to do, you know, what is empowering, what's going to empower me in the moment or in the next moment. Because, you know, I might be like Joyce. I might want to revel in that stuff for a minute.
Right.
Take everybody wrong.
Exactly. So, Joyce, now that you're beginning to see what you wasn't willing to be with, what it sounds like to me is that you notice all the times when you're in a rush, when you're trying to have all these things happen and something happens, you know, a breakdown occurs.
Yeah.
What does that begin to give access to you or give you access to?
Well, one of the things is not being present. It doesn't allow me to be present in fully in a moment. You know, it's like if I have 10 things to do, when I notice I'm doing something, I'm not 100% with what I'm doing. I'm thinking about what I have to do next.
Mm.
When I have, you know, a lot of stuff going on. Versus whatever it is, whatever project that I'm taking on in that moment, bring my whole self and be present to that project.
Wow. I imagine that has you be a lot more effective at what you're actually working on when you're present to what you're working on.
Yes.
That's really, really, really interesting because someone hit my car this week, and well, my car recently too.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being rear-ended, I was sideswiped. So, you know, it's this whole thing, and the same thing. I'm right. I'm in my lane. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, here out of nowhere comes someone into my space. You know, and I honk the horn. And, you know, like any normal person who's driven for any amount of time would just veer back over. But this happened to be a young person who veered more into me, hit me, and then cut me off in front of me. So it's like, this is really interesting. So I had to just keep saying it's just metal. You know, it's just metal. But then I looked, I said, okay, I said, God, you know, what are you trying to tell me? I'm minding my business, and I'm, you know, something comes out of nowhere that I'm totally not expecting, you know. Like where, and so I got, you know, like where am I not paying attention enough such that I would be sideswiped, like, you know, totally taken off guard and injured, you know, like, no, not injured. That's the wrong word. Damaged. You know, my vehicle is damaged. I'm not injured, but my vehicle is damaged. And I'm looking at it like going, you know, this is not cool. This is not cool at all. I don't like the sideswipe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like, you know, being, it's kind of like, you know, you ever seen that commercial where it goes dun, 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 Jaws. Like you're under attack, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm right with you. Yeah.
That's what it felt like. And then when the kid gets out of the car and he's standing there about to pass out, I was like, oh, dang, you know. I said, what's wrong? He's like, I've never been in an accident before. I said, okay. I said, you know, it's just metal. It's just metal. That's why we have insurance. Life will go on. But, you know, it still has impact. It has. You know, it affects us. And in the moment, it's like, you know, that whole why me, God, you know, just why me? Why me, why today? Why me, why today? So I just have to keep looking.
And did you notice that after you kind of like resolved that for yourself, kind of got through that space, any other triggers that popped up afterwards?
Oh, yeah, I had quite a few. yeah, you know, dealing with the insurance, it's, you know, a week or so later, my car still is not fixed. And it took out my whole side side mirror. And I rely on that mirror. So I feel at a disadvantage in driving, you know, because I need, that's like a part of me is missing. You know, a part of me that helps me navigate, a part of me that gets me to where I need to go safely is not there anymore. And so it's like, dang, I didn't realize how much I relied on that mirror. But now that that mirror is gone, it's like, dang, I relied on that mirror. Now that mirror is not there. You know, how do I adjust for that? So I'm making, mm-hmm. you know, I find myself making adjustments so that I can feel like I'm whole and complete, you know, as I travel. It's just a trip. And I want my car fixed, you know. So
and you want your car fixed.
It's taking too long, right.
Wow. So I'm going to ask you the same thing, and you can use either the accident itself or dealing with the insurance company or dealing with people that you ask to support you after the fact and you notice some triggers. I'm going to ask you to slow it down a little bit and share how you kind of walk through, because, you know, we've been doing this for quite some time. So, you know, slow it down a little bit and kind of walk through how you kind of move through the space of something that you wasn't willing to be with or didn't want to be with to a space where you got access to being powerful in the moment about it. Which one of those would you like to use? Hello?
Joyce?
Yeah. Claire, are you still there?
That's for Claire.
Oh, she dropped off.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Okay, Claire, you're back.
Okay.
Did you hear?
We didn't hear any. Did you hear the question?
No.
All right. Somebody else recreate it for me.
Hello?
Okay, I'll recreate it.
Oh, okay.
Just, you know, a little audience participation. So what I was asking you was, because you got a lot of facility with these distinctions, you know, tonight we're talking about trigger, you know, we've talked about noticing no right way to be, we've talked about no out there. You got a lot of facility with that. I'm just asking you to slow it down a little bit and share how you move through something that you wasn't willing to be with or not wanting to be with to a place where you had some power in it, and you can use the accident itself, dealing with the insurance company, or dealing with, you know, people that you may have called after it happened.
Wow, the slowing it down is difficult, I guess, for me. Because, well, one of the key tools that or distinctions that I use is noticing and clearing. And I'm always in reflection, you know, about what has occurred, and not just in terms of what actually happened, but in terms of all of the different areas of my life. So if I look at my life as this tapestry, and, you know, the things that are occurring in my life are just the stitches in the tapestry that give it color and definition like that. You know, it's all interrelated. It's all interwoven. And so the first step for me is just, you know, looking at what happened and what occurred as the what so, and then then I look at what does that mean for me, you know. So you can, the first part of, you know, the trigger is all the things that I have to deal with as a result of, you know, what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like one level of it. And sorting through all of that, that's kind of the to-do list. And then on another level, it's just, you know, going to a space of, you know, everything is in perfect divine order, and there's something from this experience that I'm supposed to gain, or, you know, it's my attention is being drawn to this area for some reason. So in this case, it was, you know, the whole idea of being sideswiped, you know, which to me translates to pay attention. Because you want to believe, and if you want to do, you know, Lennard, woulda, coulda, shoulda, whole thing, that you can prevent certain things from occurring, you know, if you are doing your due diligence. And, you know, it's not a, and when you're doing your due diligence, when stuff still occurs, you know, for me it's like God's trying to tell you something. Pay attention. You know, I need to get your attention. So, you know, the accident got my attention. It got my attention, you know, to the point where, okay, when something gets your attention at that level, you have to take care of it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, more things on the to-do list. But the first, I think the most important thing for me is just noticing what's going on and, you know, whatever I make up about what that means for me, you know, clearing myself through that process, and then no matter what any of it is, realizing, okay, I'm going to keep moving, I'm going to keep going, life still goes on, and it's all going to be okay.
Right. So it sounds like at some point, like really fast for you, you actually stop to notice what's happening
mm-hmm.
around you, to you, with you. That's actually pretty good. It's actually pretty good. Lennard, just want to let you know you're back. Claire, just give me a second. I want to check in with Mark D. Mark D, you still there?
I don't think so.
I see his number, but I'm not sure if he's there.
I don't think he's there.
Okay, I don't know what's happening. Lennard?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Okay. I can hear you now.
Yeah, now Mark is back online too. So
now
I don't
he's
know
back.
What, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I put
you
in extra
us all
time,
out
Clara. I put in
oh.
extra time, so I don't really know what's going on. But you know, here we
okay.
are, and like Mark had said earlier in the chat room, you know, sometimes there are technical issues going on with Blog Talk, and like you just said, Clara, and John was just saying. When stuff like that happens, you know, it gets our attention. So now we have an opportunity to choose. Do we want to be effective and, like, just say, oh, you know, that's part of Blog Talk and just go on and just be with it? Or, you know, like, spend a whole bunch of time blaming Blog Talk, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, because my phone dropped and then this one dropped just a second ago. But I'm like, my intention was to, you know, to be with the show. So, you know, like Mark is now saying, he logged off, but he could still hear the show. So it's still streaming, and we're still here, and glory, hallelujah.
All right, wonderful.
Yeah, but this is really interesting because this is a conversation about trigger. And so I'm just noticing, even in this show, we're having all the time, the opportunities to be triggered right here. Like
right.
I've had a couple. You know, so, yeah. So I'm just noticing this. It's like, oh, well, like Clara was saying, you know, life is trying to get my attention. It's like, hey, okay, so I just put the other phone, just put it on the charge, and I just picked up another phone. Like, hey, I'm being on this call. I don't know what you're talking about.
How about that? And you know, and what I want to say to you is the same thing I've been asking everybody.
Yes.
You know, if you can, slow it down a little bit.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying you did anything wrong. So now I'm asking you to slow it down a little bit because we're moving through this like, oh, you know, it's like we're moving through it so fast.
Right. Well, okay. So one of the things I want to say, you asked earlier on about one of my favorite triggers. And in my world, the way you were asking that, it sounded like you had one of mine, you know, that I have, like, because I talk with you a lot, so you would be present to one of the ones that I'm, you know, I have going on a lot. So I'm like, well, did you have one in mind?
Well, actually, when I was asking, no, I didn't. I was
okay.
just, you know, just curious.
Okay. So what I noticed when you asked that, and I was thinking about it on this call, it's like, oh, my Lord, I have come so far. Because one of my triggers when I was growing up used to be when people would, and notice I'm going to say this, people would accuse me of saying things that I did not say. Oh, Lord, that used to just set my hair standing up, you know, have me, like, turn red, break out in a sweat, body heat up, heart pumping, palpitations, all of that stuff. And plotting revenge, let me not leave that out.
Right.
Yeah, plotting revenge such that it would occur in an embarrassing situation where everybody was going to see and know what a liar this person was. Did you get the whole flavor of that?
I got the flavor.
Yeah. Oh, Mark is saying, he's laughing out loud. He says he knows that feeling. It's like, yeah, because they accused me. Not that they misspoke or that they even forgot. That wasn't even a possibility at the time in my life, that they had a senior moment, you know, or they just, you know, it wasn't that important to them, so they didn't have the whole, you know, thing of what I said. May not have even been paying attention to what I was really saying. And it also could have been, dependent upon the situation, someone trying to pay me a compliment because they took the time to even know that I had said something. You know, I couldn't even be present to that.
Right.
So, you know, just to give you an idea of how much that was knocking me out of my space, knocking me off of my spot, you know, keeping me off balance in life. And possibly that I would be looking for opportunities to point that out, you know, to make sure I didn't forget it.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure I noticed who said it, who did it, what time of day it was, all of that stuff. And it's like, oh, my God, the time that I spent, you know, doing that sort of thing. Ooh. I'm just amazed. Now it's kind of funny, but at the time I wanted it wasn't.
It really wasn't funny then.
Ooh, no, I was like Joyce. Well,
right.
You know what you got? I was like, I wanted to stay with that because I felt powerful. You know, because I knew I was going to get that sucker back. So I just noticed how much I have, you know, how much I have grown, how much. Do you know the technology and you know how much that it helps me? How much all of it,
Lenar?
Yes.
I am one who has noticed how much you have grown.
Thank you, Catherine. And even at that, there would have been a time I'd have been pissed off that somebody said that to me, like it was really, like it was an insult to me. You know that. You know, because you were such a bitch before, you know, like that's all I would have heard. You were such a bitch. I couldn't even be present to, wow, you know, like you have really changed. You've really taken this on. You've really made a difference in your life. You know, I can see, you know, the difference in, you know, like that. Could not be with it any sort of way at all.
Wow.
No, I couldn't have been. So, and I do think that studying, what was that, Science of Mind with Ernest Holmes, and Meredith reminds me of that. She says, well, that's probably where I first got in touch with that the anger really didn't have anything to do with any person, place, or thing outside of me. Now, intellectually, I understood that.
That's good.
But but experientially, I wasn't getting a way to handle it. I understood it. It made perfect sense. And then when I came, so what I want to say for those, you know, who are listening.
This is so good.
Yeah. So what I want to say is, even though I knew that, I learned that about 17, 19, somewhere in there. It was like 30 years later in Landmark where I got some tools to begin to unravel that I could actually work with. When I learned about upset, you know how they say it in Landmark, an undelivered communication, a thwarted intention, an unfulfilled expectation, like that, I was like, man, that's it. It's something, I am angry or upset because there is something that I didn't say that there was for me to say in the moment that happened. Because, I used to do this, like replay the situation in my mind and think of all of these, you know, really slick things to say to the person that would drop them to their knees. Anybody else do that? Was that just me?
I may have done it once.
Instant replay.
Exactly.
All the time.
Exactly.
That's the laugh of recognition.
Of only having done it once, John. I heard you say that. So that was it. I was like, wow. So that's it. It's something I didn't say that I felt I should have said. And then something I didn't do that I felt I should have done. Or something that I didn't get to contribute, or the reverse of that, or that I didn't get that I wanted to get. I was like, man, that pretty much covered it all for me.
Wow.
And so then I began to, when I got angry, and, you know, I might have been like Joyce, there were sometimes I would just hang in the anger, you know, because it was a habit, you know. It had been up to that time like a 47-year habit to blame the other person and make them wrong, even though, you know, like 17 years into that, I understood that they weren't wrong, you know, that it was my stuff. But then it took me, like I said, I didn't have any tools. There was nothing anybody gave me. It's not in the books. I mean, because I was reading the books, and I was going to the workshops, and I was going to the seminars, you know, and even inside of the summit I was doing stuff. And yet, I don't know when it was, I got it, it clicked. And so now those are the things that I use. Those are the things that I use. I ask myself those questions. Okay, and it's gotten, like you said, John, it's gotten so fast, you know, because our brains are, you know, computers. And so the processing is a lot faster now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, there are still moments and times when I'm in it, in the thick of it, and sometimes I catch myself and still blast. And there are times when I'm in it, in the thick of it, and I know it, and I said, you know what, this isn't a good time to talk about this. Let me just calm down and let's talk about this later. I mean, and sometimes it's not even necessary for me to have a conversation with the other person because it wasn't about them.
Right. Well, you know what I'm hearing, at least for myself, and around this distinction trigger,
yeah,
is you know, there's something that you are not willing to be with, something that you can't be with, something that you could have said, something that you could have done, something that you, what was the last one, wanted to contribute,
right,
or expected to be contributed. I mean, I'm hearing an expansion of distinguishing the trigger.
Yes.
You know, it's, you know, like for me, it's no longer just not willing to be with or cannot be with.
Right.
You know, what you're adding, what I'm hearing in this conversation, what you're adding and what, some of the things Clara said is like a way to distinguish it that you can really begin to sink your teeth in.
Right.
You know, because I got to tell you, this being with stuff and not being able to be with stuff is, you know, I get it intellectually, but it's kind of woo-woo to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, but things that I should have done, wanted to do, but didn't do, expected, that's clear. That's very clear. You know, like Claire said, well, God is trying to tell me something.
Right.
That's very clear. You know, he's like trying to tell me, pay attention.
Right.
Oh, now see, that makes a lot of sense. When I, oh, why am I triggered? Oh, God is trying to tell me something.
Right.
Here. Let me pause for a moment and notice and listen.
Yes.
To what God, life, the universe is communicating to me. Because
yes.
It's always communicating.
Yes, in every moment.
Oh,
yes.
I think it's great. I mean, I just thought, thank you for that. Because, you know, I can now see sharing, being able to share a little more about trigger outside of, you know, the space that I had been in, which was something that you're willing to be with, not willing to be with, you know, like that.
Right.
Okay.
All right, we got a few more minutes. Anybody else want to share about their favorite one or one they're going through right now, a more elevated trigger? Trigger.
Well, it's something that's occurring for me about the out there thing. Okay, let me just back it up for a second. The shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe, oughta, supposed to be. That's another clue. When I hear myself saying any of those things, because trigger doesn't have to be full force. It doesn't have to be like, what's boiling temperature? You know, whatever that is, it doesn't have to be that high. It doesn't have to be that hot. It can be a subtle thing. You know, it could be on low. And, you know, a shoulda, coulda, woulda, like I said, is a signal to me that I'm triggered about something. It's just not on blast. So whenever I hear myself, you know, doing that shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe, oughta, supposed to be thing, I know that I'm in the soup. I know that I'm in the trigger arena. And there's an opportunity for me to look and just say, okay, I may have that conversation going on about it, yet what's so in the moment? What is there that I can do? What is there for me to say? What is there for me that I may be wanting to contribute? Because that other conversation that shoulda, coulda, woulda isn't going to help me much. You with me?
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I am with you. All right, we got about 7 more minutes, and I want to ask if you guys have any closing comments, and I also want to lend some time to the upcoming shows such that we can fully kind of develop and enfold people into the show. So, first, any closing comments?
For me, what's present is I would say for anyone, you know, but they won't know it now because we're at the end of the show, but the last part of this where all of the, where a lot of those points have been, I think that's been great. The things that we pointed out as possible signposts, if you will, ways to, you know, to notice that we're in a trigger. And that there's some action that we can take. There's some, you know, conversations to have, some questions to have, you know, like that. So there are some opportunities, you know, there are just some things to do.
Exactly.
And
thank you.
And I don't have to. And I don't have to make myself wrong that I'm not wanting to do that. Because, you know, that's one of the things that I want to just be honest about. Because like Joyce said, in some moments, I just want to be in the stuff. I want to curse somebody out. I want to make it out there. You know, I want to do that. And just to give myself the space to, you know, to do that and then to deal with the consequences of that too. You know, because sometimes that's not very beneficial.
Exactly. Well, hold on a second, Lenard. What's so cool about what you're saying, though, is it does require that you at least notice something, which is really cool, and you can choose.
Yes.
So, you know, we're not talking about utopia here.
Right.
We're not talking about every day, all is well, life's a bed of roses. We're moreover, what we're talking about is, if you can begin to see these things when you're upset, when you have a shoulda, when you have a coulda, when you notice that you're triggered, you now are in a space to choose. Do I want to ride with it?
Yes.
You know, do I want to, you know what, I want to be upset for a little while longer.
Exactly.
Actually, I want to be mad. And then actually give yourself room to be mad, be angry. And then, you know, like, well, you know, no, I don't want to ride this one. I got enough other ones I can ride. I'm going to let this one go. I'm going to complete this one for myself. You know, I'm going to notice what there is to notice, because right now in this moment, I'm more committed to being effective than I am to being triggered by it. So I think it's great what you're saying. I think it's wonderful what you're saying. You know, in my world, all ways of being are valid.
Yes. Absolutely, and that's really what I'm pointing to. You know, that's a way to go about it, too. It really is. And I also wanted to add that trigger is not necessarily a bad thing. It's not, you know, because I can be triggered by the smell of barbecue. I can be triggered by the hearing the little ice cream bell, you know, out front, like that. So it's not always a bad thing. I could be triggered by, you know, a child or a dog. You know, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. That's, I just want to add that about trigger.
Gotcha. All right, 3 minutes. Any other closing comments?
Not about that.
All right, we got two shows
coming
up. About
the upcoming shows. That's right.
Exactly. We got two shows coming up, one next week and one the week after. And interesting enough, we have both the hosts on the call with us tonight, Lenard next week and Clara the week after. So, Lenard, why don't you take about 45 seconds?
Great. So what I'd like to tell you is that next Sunday, May 11th, is Mother's Day, and we're having a special show. It's going to Mothers in the Summit, that is our topic. And I've already talked with a couple of mothers who, and these are mothers who have participated in the summit, who have children in the summit. And we're going to be talking about what it's like for them to be a mother and what they got out of being in the summit. And then what it was like having their children in the summit. What difference did that make in their relationship? What difference did that make in their family dynamic? And I've gotten some positive responses about it. A lot of these mothers are very excited about sharing that on the show. And so that's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, 7 Central, 5 Pacific.
Okay, great. Clara?
The segment I'm doing is You're Invited, and the purpose of the You're Invited segment is really to connect folks across the country with things that are inspired by the conversation of the International Black Summit. We'll be touching on the next annual event, which will be in Anguilla in August, the first weekend, last weekend of July, first weekend of August of 2008. And for those people who are interested in being really deep into the conversation, I invite you to come out to the annual summit event, which will be in Anguilla this year in 2008.
Wonderful.
And you can go to our website, www.blacksummit.org, to get all of the information about the summit and also about registration for the event.
Wonderful. Anything else?
Great show, John.
Well, I actually enjoy this segment about trigger. It's one of my favorite distinctions. I know we don't have a distinction called being righteous. So we got no right way to be. All there is to do is be and triggered. So this would be the closest thing to my favorite subject. So, yes, I think this was a great show for those of you who are still on the air. Tune in next week. And
thank you for being here, yes?
And thank you for being here.
And thank everybody in the chat room, Dr. Wade, Kenda, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're now off the air.
We're still on the air.
Well, we'll stop streaming. So if you're still listening, to the show, be sure and tune in to our other shows. Go back into the archives. There's wonderful, wonderful, great shows there. You know, I invite you to get engaged in this conversation as we fulfill our commitment of transforming the black community in the world. On that note, this is John Thomas signing out, and I'll see you next month on the radio.
Bye.
Talk to you later, John. Have a great week, everyone.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.